In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew, which I've already read. Please be seated. Leprosy was a rather serious condition in ancient Israel, both at the time of Naaman, who is one of the major players in our Old Testament reading from this morning, and also in the time of Jesus. We hear about a man that is healed of leprosy at the beginning of our gospel reading. Now, it's kind of difficult for us today to pin down what is meant by the term leprosy in the scriptures because it is used in a couple of different ways. And it can refer to a variety of different skin-related diseases, including what we generally think of as that condition that's mentioned in the Old Testament where your skin is infected and kind of dies and then parts of your skin and body can actually become detached. However, what we do know about this condition mentioned in both the Old and the New Testament is that it also had other effects on the person other than just physical. It was also something that separated a man or a woman from the community of believers. In Leviticus, God commanded the people of Israel to put anyone with leprosy outside of the camp. They were not to join in with the rest. They would not be allowed back into the community until after the disease was completely gone and a very thorough cleansing process was completed that also included a sacrifice. While the person awaited healing, he could not come into contact with anyone in the camp, lest by a simple touch he spread that uncleanness to someone else. Now, I spent a good part of last week kind of sick, and spent some of that time apart from my family, including being sequestered to my own bedroom. And it was hard because, you know, I wanted to see my wife and my kids, but I also didn't want to share my illness with them at the same time. And so, over the course of those few days, it was rather lonely. I can't even begin to imagine having to spend that time and more away from my family, unable to kiss my children or hold my hand's wife. And though this is certainly difficult and painful for us to imagine today, leprosy's destructive work ran much deeper than a physical separation from the community of believers. There was also another kind of stigma that was attached to those who had leprosy. For the Jews in both the Old and the New Testaments, this disease was seen as a curse from God, almost as if someone contracted leprosy because they were leading a life that was not pleasing to God. Now, in some cases, this was most certainly true. When Moses' sister Miriam tried to take over Moses' role as God's spokesman and the leader of the people of Israel, she was stricken with leprosy from the Lord. After wicked King Saul attempted to offer a sacrifice to God that was forbidden by the law, he was stricken with leprosy by the Lord. In some notable cases, leprosy was a punishment from God resulting from sin. It was almost a form of using the binding key today, excommunicating an unrepentant sinner from the Christian congregation as long as he did not repent. Because the leper was placed outside of the camp of Israel, he was also unable to participate in the worship life of the congregation. That meant that he could not take part in the sacrifices that pointed forward to the appeasing sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He could not pray with his fellow believers. He could not approach the place where God promised to be with them for the forgiveness of sins. Not only did leprosy separate a man from his loved ones, but it also separated him from the God of his salvation. Because we have a God who works through means then and now, who comes to us in concrete and tangible things like bread and wine and water and word, and in the Old Testament, other kinds of sacrifices. This was an exclusion from the means of grace and salvation altogether. In short, leprosy was a death sentence, both physically and spiritually. Indeed, this is the common lot of all who are under the curse of sin. After the fall, God cut us off from the means of grace that were available to us through the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Man could not enter the presence of God anymore without facing the certainty of death. Enter Jesus, coming down the mountain from proclaiming the Sermon on the Mount. And St. Matthew tells us to look. Behold, a leper came to Jesus and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." For this man to approach Jesus in this way was quite bold. As we've said, lepers were to stay far away from all those who are clean, lest they spread their uncleanness. But not only was this man approaching a clean person, but he was also approaching the Most High God, the one who defined what it was to be clean and unclean. If a leper were to approach God in the temple in the Old Testament, he could expect nothing short of death. What is unclean does not belong in the presence of Holy God. But behold, Jesus does something that no one who knew the laws about leprosy and cleanliness would expect. St. Matthew tells us that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will make you clean. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. At face value, it almost seems as if Jesus healed this man and it cost him nothing. But what did it mean for a man to touch someone with leprosy? Well, according to the law of Moses, when Jesus touched this unclean man, it meant that he was unclean himself. Jesus took into himself this man's uncleanness. But with Jesus, we also have someone who is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. Indeed, instead of simply contracting the man's uncleanness, Jesus here reverses the flow of cleanness. Simply by his touch, Jesus restored the man to full health, that is, to wholeness of both body and spirit. Don't forget what this meant for the man. He could once again be with his family. No one would look at him as being cursed by God. And what is more, he would be able to participate in the divine service, where God was working through earthly means, the touch of God in the flesh, in order to bring him salvation. This divine service continues even among us today. We gather here in this place and approach our God in faith, pleading for him to heal us who have a disease that is even worse than leprosy. That is, sin itself. This is a leprosy that is more than skin deep. It infects the soul itself, eating away at our very lives. We poor, miserable sinners deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment for this condition, the condition that we've inherited from our parents, and that we ourselves participate in with our own sins. But with a word that's powerful enough to heal the centurion's servant without going to the centurion's house, our Lord Jesus Christ forgives your sins. Christ Jesus bids your sins to depart, to be gone, to be forgiven. The flesh and blood Jesus, who reached out his hand to touch the leper, comes to us to offer healing through his touch, offering to us his very flesh and blood in the sacrament of the altar, where he touches our hands, our lips, and our tongues. Where the uncleanness of your sin has caused a separation between you and God, God himself comes in the flesh in order to bridge the gap between what is unclean and clean, between what is sinful and what is holy. And so we see here how Christ's work of healing the leper, the centurion's servant, and us down to our own day through his word and through the stretching out of his flesh and blood are here week after week. In coming into contact with our holy God here, we receive from him his righteousness and his life. But for him, he takes on your sin and he takes on our sorrows. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is why it was necessary for Christ to go to the cross. For in so doing, he went bearing the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, the sins of Naaman and the leper and the centurion and his servant, in order to die for them. And in so doing, Christ has even taken away your death, that in him you might have life. As St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in Christ, God was reconciling the world back to himself. And here, through his word, God makes Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus' name, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.